Friends, the message I bring you this morning is based on the reading that comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, which is set down for this Sunday. You'll hear the whole reading at the end of the service. But the words that I'm focusing on are those up there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this Sunday. And we thank you for the opportunity to be still and listen to your word, and we pray that you would bless us through it and give us your spirit so that we can put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Christmas is only 10 days away. I want to have a good Christmas. I'm sure you want to have a good Christmas. And so what can we do to make it a good time, a happy time for us and for those who come and celebrate Christmas with us? Well, we've done a fair bit of preparation at our place, or I should say Janet's done a lot of preparation at our place, and we've put up a Christmas tree and decorated it. We've got presents under the tree already. We've got a wreath on the front door, and we've got Christmassy things all around the house. We've got a fridge full of food and tasty things in the cupboard. And we've made arrangements for some family members to come and join us for Christmas lunch, and if they can possibly eat any more, for Christmas tea as well. What else can we do? Well, here's what the Apostle Paul says we should do. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if we didn't get it the first time, he says, rejoice. But is this possible? Who can rejoice all the time? Who can rejoice in all circumstances? And the rain doesn't fall and the crops don't grow. How can a farmer rejoice? When you lose your job and struggle to find another suitable job, how can you rejoice? When there's a split in your family and you don't see the people you love and long to see, how can you rejoice? When the specialist tells you you've got a serious illness, maybe a life-threatening illness, how can you rejoice? When you lose the love of your life, the mother or the father of your children, or one of your children, how can you possibly rejoice? And if you do come across somebody who's always got this smile on their face, this broad, beaming smile on their face, you tend to be suspicious. You wonder what they're trying to hide. Or you wonder what kind of pill or happy juice they're on. No one can rejoice all the time and in all circumstances, can they? But the apostle is not dishing out unrealistic and idealistic advice. He's urging the Christians at Philippi, and he's urging us to follow his example, to do what he does. This is what he says. Whatever you have seen in me, put it into practice, he tells them. And when Paul wrote this letter, he was not in a good situation. He was, in fact, in prison. And knowing the way the Romans operated, he must have had a fair idea that he might never get out again. Which is what happened. Despite all that, he didn't slump into depression. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't let the crook circumstances govern his life. He rejoiced in the Lord and he encouraged others to do the same. And this letter has only four chapters, but in those four chapters, Paul mentions joy or rejoicing 16 times. Why was Paul so full of joy? Well, it wasn't because he was a glass half full man or supreme optimist. It was because of the Lord. Paul rejoiced in the Lord who loved him enough to die for him. Paul rejoiced in the Lord who found him and forgave him while he was on his way to try and destroy the church. Paul rejoiced in the Lord who had turned his life around and called him to be his servant and his apostle. He rejoiced in the Lord who had risen from the dead and was a supreme authority, higher than the Roman emperor, the one who was in control of all circumstances. Paul rejoiced in the Lord who was near, near in two ways, near enough to hear Paul's whispered prayer, and near to returning as king and judge when he will raise the dead and renew the whole of creation. The key to rejoicing all the time is this: keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord who loves you, who died for you, who rose for you, who claimed you in baptism, who is with you. The Lord who was the Lord of all circumstances, the Lord of history, the Lord of life and death. Look to the Lord in faith, trust in him, keep your eyes on the Lord, and you can rejoice always. Does this mean that you cannot grieve and weep? That you cannot be sad? Not at all. Because you are human, you will have these feelings, and you shouldn't try and suppress them. But sorrow and sadness cannot totally remove your joy in the Lord. Sadness and sorrow will come, and they will stay, maybe for a long time. But the love of the Lord for you will remain always. And so along with and underneath your sorrow and sadness, you will have a joy which nothing can take away. I've seen this joy in the life of some Christians. One of those was my grandfather, Pastor Benno Schwartz, or Schwartz as they used to call him. He lived till he was 97, a long life, but not always an easy life. As a 15-year-old, he contracted lead poisoning while working in the mines underground in Broken Hill. He was always poor. In fact, my father and another uncle paid off his last debts to various storekeepers around the country when he was in his 70s. My grandmother and three of his children died before him. In his last days, he's virtually totally deaf, nearly blind, and to barely walk. But in spite of all this, he was always rejoicing in the Lord. We used to visit him at his home in Portland. And what he would always do was lead us in singing, "Jesus loves me," or "Jesus bids us shine," or "What a friend we have in Jesus." And his face would shine with joy. I've also experienced the joy of the Lord at times you might not expect it. One of those times was when my mother breathed her last, and I and other family members were with her. Yes, it was sad. Even though it was 30 years ago, I still got to wipe away a tear every now and again. But at the same time, we experienced joy. And even through our tears, we rejoiced that the Lord held our dear mother in his arms. And I did some rejoicing in the Lord this past week, much to my surprise, I think. I finished preparing my sermon on Tuesday, and while I was doing this, Janet was trying to go and visit a doctor. She'd been advised by three medical professionals that she needed an urgent blood test. None of the practices could take her. We went to the Angaston Hospital and they said that we're not sure when we can do this. You might have to wait a while, and if it's urgent, we think you should go to the Gawler Emergency Centre. So that's what we did. We got there on Tuesday at 6:30. We sat down along with other people and waited. At 12:30, we were admitted into the emergency section. Some blood was taken. And then a doctor came to see us at about 3:15 in the morning. I was sitting on a chair, my head against the wall, trying to catch a little bit of rest. Janet was lying down. And I could have been complaining. I must say it did cross my mind. If this is an emergency, what's a non-emergency like? But instead, I had these words in my mind, rejoice in the Lord always. And I thought about the love of the Lord for me, the presence of the Lord with us. The fact that we had a hospital to go to, a place to go to, when many people don't have anything like that. At about 3:15, the doctor came along, gave us some pretty good news. We got home at 4:00 in the morning. And instead of being a time of great complaining, it was actually a very good time for me. Very good. Now, I've talked about joy this morning, but joy is not expressed best in words, but in singing, in talking, but in singing. And so I'd like to finish the sermon this morning by us singing together. We could sing one of the many joyful Christmas carols that we usually sing at this time of the year, but we're going to sing an old favourite, that song that's based on these words, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So what we're going to do is the choir's going to come up here, so maybe if they can come up here, and we'll sing it all together, first of all. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Can we put it on the screen? Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. We're going to sing it all together once, and then we're going to sing it twice as a round. These people in the round are going to sing with this side. You folk are going to sing with this side twice, but you've got to stand up if you can. Right. You want to lead us off?
Lord, always, and again I say,
rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, always, and again I say, rejoice, 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 and again I say, rejoice, 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 and again I say, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord.
Down. Thank you. Now, pastors often finish the words which conclude this reading. And they finish like this: "The peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always, and you will have that wonderful peace." Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you are the Lord of all circumstances and our Lord. And so when it's really hard, when life is tough, help us to still rejoice in your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.